Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Sissies, we are in a state.
Is there a new flavor of Oreos?
No.
Oh, they finally started a gay men who can knit subreddit?
No! And if they did that subreddit, I would report it for being sad.
Well, what is it then? Some new Keira Knightley movie?
Close. Sissies, we are excited for Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump.
Now on Hulu. Oh yeah, it looks delish, and the guys are really hot.
It's not only about the hot men, Maddie. This is a high-class show, and Lisa Vanderpump is taking us across the pond. Sissies, in this gorgeous new show, you can join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
With really hot French guys?
No. Well, maybe. Stop distracting me. Sissies, meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. But don't get it twisted. The staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards as they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests.
True. And Lisa has a staff. Mixologists, chefs, housekeepers, event coordinators, and a chateau manager.
Who's really, really hot.
I knew you'd get there. But sissies, not everybody has what it takes.
Oh no, it gets messy. So get prepared, sissies, because Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Here, have some popcorn.
I had a hot dog earlier. It's fine. It's okay.
Do some steps.
Okay, good idea. My favorite moment from this week's Jen Shah smile crying like a lion.
A proud lion.
Yes. Y'all, I am here. This is Reality Gaze, and this is what I'm calling Bravo blowjob. I mean, Bravo blow up. Blow out. I don't even know. And this is, my guest is Ryan Bailey. Yo, say hello, Ryan.
What up, Reality Gay Nation? What up, Gation? Let's do this.
What up, Gation?
Gation!
That is the straightest phrase ever uttered on this podcast.
I'm just trying to fit in. Like, I am, you can't see me right now, but I've got a bucket full of lube all over my body.
Oh, it's
I have
hot.
Not showered today. Yeah. No underpants at all. I'm ready to talk Bravo.
Your asshole is freshly shaved, so.
Oh, yeah. I took Colty's instructions on how to shave my back hair and asshole.
Yes, all of it. Perfect. Y'all, he does a podcast called So Bad It's Good. I think it's So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey.
That's it. That's true. I mean, it truly is. Yeah.
If you don't know it, you guys, he covers all Bravo that is fit to print and some that's not. and other pop culture, Kardashians, basically things you watch that you feel sick about.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There's like this really niche thing. I was talking about like the new Sex in the City, and it's like one of my favorite shows to watch, but it's all I hate watching. Like I hate it, but I look forward to it every week. And pop culture now has turned into things that are just like bad, but we love them so much. So it provides this kind of amazing thing that we end up taking pride in all of this horror that we watch every week, you know?
It's cathartic.
It's so cathartic.
It helps us process the world we live in. That's where we are with it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll go as far to say these shows cured COVID for me. These shows did it. I feel these shows actually did help me and help all of us through the most insane 2 years of our life.
Y'all, Mike, who looks like Minion fucked Wallace and Gromit, cured COVID.
Yeah, 100%.
For Ryan. Yeah. Te amo. Before I know Ryan does cover all of these Bravo shows. The hardest working person, the devil works hard, but Ryan works harder. I know because we've talked about this before. Ryan also watches our baby, 90 Day Fiance. He does not cover it, but Ryan, tell us about what you think of the latest Before the 90 Days season 5. Are you enjoying it?
I absolutely love it. I love that it's mainly new people, except for like superstar Usman, like international superstar.
International
they had to get the J Lo of wherever he's from, Nigeria, I think. I love that it's all new people to like, it reminds you that there's weird people everywhere you look. It's not just like Angela and, yeah, you know, Michael. I love, but also I just like, I've thought, and I know this is like, I don't know if this is uncouth to talk about, but like, I'm not good with their names, but like, I've been picturing having sex with a little person all week. Or like, wait, no, not me, but like that guy on the show. I've been picturing how he does it.
Well, let me share this with you, what I told my audience, and I basically dared them. When I was talking about in my show with Kyle from Cray Cray, and I said, okay, all you fuckers out there, that don't you lie to me that when they talked about when they had sex, you're like, all of you said, I wonder what positions I did. And if you said you didn't, well, they must have done the rear view window or the sprinkler.
Oh yeah. The lawnmower, shopping at a grocery store.
You, everyone thought it. You're a liar if you say you didn't. So this whole idea, your curiosity is valid. I've completely.
I was so fascinated. I went online and tried to find merch involving them. I was like, I've got to be a part of this. And you know what's so great about these shows is I'm so used to watching them with my phone up and kind of scrolling. Yeah. I shit you not. I put the phone down. I rewound it, and I was like, I got to hear everything there's, because he treated it like he was like a scientist, like an astronaut. He was like, you know, it's very interesting. I started off in this position, and was that hurtful? Yeah, you know, it's kind of like a normal person, but it's a little different in the sense that I don't want to cause pain. And I was just really testing the limits. And I was like, this is so bizarre. And you could tell she was like, go further. Like she was telling her friend of like, I want, like, she's not concerned about her hurting at all. She wants him to like prove his love.
She's not concerned about a lot, which is why, especially when it comes to social media, which is why we've basically decided we're not going to cover her anymore.
I don't know. Like the beauty about not following the beauty about just watching 90 Day, I don't follow the social media aspects of these ladies, these people at all.
Well, this has immolated within a 1 week period. Someone found, not even to belabor it even more because we talked about it before, but I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. Someone found a Facebook post from her where she said, you guys, it's time for the best party. It's called N-Word Night.
What? And what?
Yes, it is. And she was kind of dressed in almost drag king style as a black person, obviously.
Did this take place on La Siena from Below Deck party?
No. That is a whole different racial insensitivity.
Oh my god! She was doing blackface.
What I would call, yes, it's blackface to a degree because she was dressed in, but as a male. So it's kind of like drag king blackface, which is a new level of horror, really. And she said she didn't know what the word meant because she was raised in Russia, even though she studied in Chicago. And she told people that they needed to get over it.
Imagine having to struggle your whole life as a little person and still finding time to hate. Like, still find, you know what? I still want something for me and myself to, like, look down upon.
She's like, I deserve to be able to say this. Well, the thing is, she... She kept doubling down everything. And they found, people found other posts. They found posts where she's like, I really like Hugh Grant, but I don't like that his kids are half Asian.
And what?
No, it got nutty.
Like, I didn't even know that. Like, what? Yeah. She's like looking into like Hugh Grant's life.
No, it's mindless. Then she wants to be an influencer. She wants clout. So it's almost like she's trying to destroy herself, but it's like a bad Andy Kaufman sketch that just keeps going.
Yeah.
And she says at one point she did this picture in like a hijab where she goes,
no,
ready to be 134th wife.
No.
And I'm like, so who are we going to go to next?
Oh my God.
What?
You know, she is right. She sounds like a stand-up comedian, like my friend Che Diaz. Just an amazing, and she, because she makes you think. She really makes you think, and that's. But I had no clue of any of this stuff. I'm just going by like all I've been thinking about is that guy like breaking one of her hips accidentally with his monster schlong or something.
That is actually the nicest conversation we can have about her. That's the funniest part, because now everything about her, she's shown herself to be, she hasn't even tried to apologize. She did everyone's favorite apology. I'm sorry if anyone was offended that I use that word.
It would be amazing if Jenny from Salt Lake copied her apology with her apology yesterday.
Oh my God,
and it was
yes.
just like a, it's like a form letter for all reality stars of sending the same apology letter.
God,
but
Jenny
leaves in of like, I may be short in stature, but my ideas. And Jenny's like, oh no, I'm regular size.
But yes, but I am actually, I am of tall stature. But I think, no, she, I'm telling you, one Google on Reddit will give you everything, and you will.
Dude, that Reddit, I fear my life to ever be a subject of a Reddit. Like I mean, cause I don't go on Reddit, but people will send me things, and I've never seen that kind of thorough work about things. Like, I mean, it is like, that's like shit I wouldn't even do in high school to pass classes. People are putting that work in their free time.
Oh.
In fact, I mean, like they broke open like the Jen Shah case. They broke open the Erica Jane case. Like the stuff that they're able to do is, I just don't know why there's not like a the Avengers of reality show investigators, you know?
I think there basically is, and it is Reddit. And it is I have to kind of limit myself because the way, and I try to read a ton of comments because it gets worse and worse the farther down you go. But the last thing she did, her friends, Elijah, her friend, and even Caleb are defending her, saying people have to be, and we're just to this point because we're probably not going to cover her anymore because I could say with certainty, we're not going to cover her anymore.
That's smart.
It's become joyless talking about her. And this is obviously that someone who doesn't want to, number one, they don't want to learn. And they don't. So she could say that I was Russian. I didn't know this word was racist. Okay, that is in a whole different category of crazy. But we could believe you were penitent about it. But she's not shown that at all. So we're like,
but don't you think that's what reality stars all have in common? Is that they always double down?
Yes,
is that they double down and they never learn. Like that's the thing. That's the thing with Jen Shah. That's the, like, Jen Shah will go to prison still saying she's innocent. Like guys, she, like, I hope everybody can face, she will go to prison. There's no leeway, and she'll go in never admitting she's wrong.
Her and Stu Chains together.
Wait, at least Stu Chains admitted he did something wrong.
Yeah.
Jen Shah goes, well, it must be a coincidence. I don't know what Stu was doing with all of my equipment. Like she says, it blows me away that like Salt Lake gives her this like free infomercial every week. And like the other ladies are so horrible around her that Jen kind of looks okay by comparison.
You know, I was thinking the last couple weeks I've been thinking that even though she has like a weekly scream fest at someone and she makes that lion face, the crying, non-tear crying face.
Yeah, it's like,
it's the next level of Darcy and Stacey's crying through Botox. Okay, yeah, it's strong, be strong.
By the way, do you watch, like I was thinking about Aniko and Aspen. Do you think they watch Euphoria? Like, do you think they're involved? Like, I just worry about them sometimes because, you know, of the moms already, but then just like, I wonder if their high school life is insane. I know COVID has happened. And
I don't know. I kind of assume that all kids who are teenagers right now are euphoria teens. And I'm a little scared and also like, oh my God, I would love to go to a party that where that's. And then I remember they would see me as like, who is the old person?
Yes.
Because I have to remember that I'm over 40 and they would see me as a creeper. And it's like, I had this idea where if I saw Aniko and Aspen out somewhere, I'm like, you guys are so cool. You're like, and they're like, yeah, who are you?
Look at you all tough. I love your whole deal, girls.
And they're like, that's thanks, old guy. Ugh.
I always say that on the podcast. I said, no matter who I make fun of or what I make fun of on this, I hope we're all got to be clear is that I am the biggest loser of any of these people.
Totally. You know,
like I'm the one sitting here at like a Tom Sandoval concert, like, woo, you know, like that's.
You mentioned this. I have to hear the story. All right. I know you went to the Tom. I'm sure his creative genius is beyond reproach.
It is. It is. He makes wedding bands cool again, you know?
I will say, I would fuck him in a second.
Dude, okay. So I interviewed him.
He is a very handsome man.
The interview is going to be out next week. And it was my first in-person interview since like COVID and stuff. And I went him and Ariana's house and it was a 7-hour night. Like,
oh my God.
He just kept like making drinks and he, you know, he showed me every collectible of Vanderpump Rules ever. And then by the end, I was like, I gotta go, dude. Like, and he was like, oh, one more thing. And like at the end, he was showing me like dinosaur bones and like just even things that weren't affiliate. He's like, this is a sword from Game of Thrones. He was showing me things that wasn't even involved in the show, but he's like, I love that kind of spirit of somebody of like, I'm going to make this the best night of your life, you know, but his concert is, he has a 9-piece band, a saxophone player, all of this stuff, but it was at the Canyon Insane. Club in Agora Hills. And
I had sadly played there.
it's like in a strip mall and it's like a decent event, but it's like a huge venue. So I was like scared nobody was going to be there. It actually was a really good turnout, but like Sheena and Brock and Ariana, but like the big mistake I made and your audience is going to think I'm crazy, but I was like, I get super nervous, like going outside anymore.
Yeah,
so
who doesn't?
My friend had like, actually a listener of your show gave me like these like little tiny baby mushroom things, like, and I was like, you know,
of
and you hear about
our listeners
and you hear about like microdosing, so I thought I'll like, and they were so tiny and I took a couple because I wasn't drinking,
right?
And that, by the way, that ended once this all happened because I thought a couple. And by the third song of the set, I realized I was fully tripping on mushrooms. And it like Tom, like it's really, if you're not prepared to trip on mushrooms and then you find yourself at a Tom Sandoval concert, it's one of the scariest experiences that I've ever had. I've thought, and when you're on mushrooms, your mind's not working completely the right way. So I thought I was trapped on stage. I realized like an hour in, I realized I had legs to move, but I was like, I thought I was trapped.
You have to, I tell people, people say, I'm not a huge advocate of mushrooms. I tell people the only time where you will enjoy it is when you are, when your plane has a crash and there's a bunch of other girls around you and you need to string up a guy and
You're like, and you enjoy soccer, that cold, you know, that thing.
Yeah, that's the only time when it's passable. No, in all seriousness, if you can be somewhere that's away from a large group of people so the paranoia doesn't start in.
Maybe in nature too, like some kind of beauty.
Helps.
And Tom Sandoval, beautiful man, but also a hard thing to watch when all of a sudden I found myself behind Brock, Sheena's fiance or their husband and wife. And like, imagine being on mushrooms and like, you watched every episode of the show and then all of a sudden you feel like you're in the show on mushrooms. And like Brock was like, yeah, let's do it, man. Yeah, yeah. He was like a little leprechaun. And Sheena was like, and it was the bizarre, and I couldn't stop laughing, but in my mind, I thought I was dying. And then DJ James Kennedy came on afterwards.
Oh, shut up.
And he, I mean, at this point, like a lot of people had gone home, and I think it was like 70 people. He like rips off his shirt.
Of course.
And for some reason, he's profusely sweating. Like he's treating this like it's Coachella, which I admire that kind of passion. But it was just like, he's like, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And I'm just, and by the way, the other thing that I kept thinking in my mind is I'm an older dude just like standing there. Like he must be like, who's the dude just standing looking like he's lost? Like I'm just like standing around 50 girls like, woo.
I'm a bumblebee and I need to get back to the hive.
Yeah. And then I was just like, Tom, like I went over to the one section and Tom Sandoval after the show was like, yo dude, what's up, man? I'm so glad you came. And then I was like, great show, man. And then I was like, I'm on mushrooms, dude. Like I just tell, and he goes, oh yeah, man. Yeah. And then I finally, my roommate was like, yeah, you got to go. You got, and I was like, yeah, I want to go home. And then on the way out, I saw Tom Schwartz. Like he was in like a Big Lebowski, like sweater. And
of course he was.
And Katie wasn't even there. It was a Saturday night. And like, he's by himself. And I go, and I don't really know Tom Schwartz, but I, for some reason, you know, cause I'm on mushrooms. I thought I was on TV. I go, hey man, these mushrooms are really killing me. And he goes, oh man. He goes, yeah, I think I got some too, actually. And he starts looking in his pockets and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like it was so bizarre and it made me so ashamed of my life.
But it's a great story to tell. And
is it? I mean, is it? My mom was like, what do you mean? Like, thank God my mom doesn't really listen to the pod or anything. But like, I insinuated it in an Instagram post and she likes all of my Instagram posts, even though she doesn't know what I'm talking about. But no. She's like, what happened on Saturday night that you're so ashamed about? And I just didn't know what to say. I said, oh, my jeans don't fit anymore, you know?
Good, because she's like, Ryan, are you taking drugs? Do I need to call someone? Yeah.
Could you imagine having an intervention for mushrooms?
No, my mother, who we call Mother Poodle on the show, still thinks I smoked cigarettes in my early 20s, and my mother still thinks I smoke. Even though I have quit, she's like, Jaybird, did you smoke a cigarette? I swear, I think I smelled it. Do I need to call your friends and ask if you were smoking? I'm like, I'm 44 years old. I'm not smoking. I promise you, because, and you, that was like, my early 20s. She's like, I think I smelled it in your rental car.
Oh, I mean, this is even worse than like ever. And this holidays now like suck every time. My dad is an undercover weed smoker. Like we all know he smokes weed, but he tries to hide it from all of us. And like, he's retired and stuff. But my dad, they live in Arizona. Every time I'm coming out, I'll be getting a text from my dad like right now. And he'll be like, what's up, bud? Can't wait to see you. Any way you can get me some stuff and bring it with you. And that's always code for weed. And then when I drive in or whatever, he'll be like, give it to me before mom sees. Give it to me. And I'm like, God, dad, chill out. And then he always hides it in the garage. And I like always second day I'm there, my mom will go, it smells like a skunk is in the garage. And
knows.
Oh, she totally knows. And then one year, my dad, like all of a sudden it was fine. I had brought him a tray full of pop brownies my friend made for him. And I said, Dad, just eat a little bit. They're really strong. He goes, I know what I'm doing. And I'm like, okay, fine. And then the last day, my mom comes in and goes, hey, I'm worried about your dad. And I was like, what's wrong? He's like, he's been asleep for 16 hours now. And I'm like, what? And I go out to check the brownies. He ate like a half tray of brownies. And then my mom goes, I think he's smoking weed again. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, and in my
Thanks,
head, I'm
Columbo.
Like, in my head, I'm like, how dare my dad put me in this situation? And then he goes, I think he used grandma's Christmas money to buy marijuana. And I'm like, because my grandma gives us all $50 for Christmas. And I was like,
honey,
I love
that, would
that
cost
grandma
you thing in Los Angeles. That would be a joint.
Oh my God. That's the worst part now is that Arizona has passed. Like you can go buy legal weed in Arizona without a card. I keep telling my dad that he still prefers me to get it for him. Like, I live in California. It's so bizarre.
$50 at like MedMen would get you like maybe a joint.
Yeah, well, that's why I bought him a very, really strong joint because he was like, I thought I was doing right. This was like a year ago, and I didn't really talk to him about it. I don't smoke weed. I don't smoke weed with my dad. Yeah. I don't, you know. So I give it to him, and the time after I came up, I actually like, Dad, do you want me to get you anything? He goes, I don't think so. Not after that last joint. And I'm like, what? And he goes, that. And he goes, that wasn't right. That joint wasn't right. I go, Dad, that was like I said, did you smoke that whole joint? And he goes, well, duh. And I'm like, Dad, that's like a joint you just take a couple of hits out of.
Yeah.
It's like, and he goes, well, I smoked the whole thing. And he's like, it was a really bad day for me. It was just a really bad day. And I'm like, where did my dad all this? Like, my dad was in Vietnam. Like, he goes, this is just not the kind of stuff I grew up with. I'm like, yeah, Dad, that's what I keep trying to tell you. And you keep like, I can handle it. And then you like totally ruin it for yourself.
Maybe stop mainlining so much weed that you're Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. I've taken edibles for me where I've taken edibles where I've been at the beach where you don't think they're really working. So you take another gummy worm and then you have another fish and then you're sitting there on the beach and all you can think of is I'm too high. Yes. I'm so high. That's just repeating over and over in your head.
Just like, yeah. release me from this. Yeah.
That's why I don't do edibles anymore. I might have like a puff on someone's vape pen, but even that.
Even with the edibles, like if somebody gives me one, I will take maybe 1/10 of the edible. Like honestly, if it's a gummy, I'll just break apart one little tiny piece and I'll hide it from them. Like I'll act like I take the whole thing and then I've palmed it in my hand because obviously I still love peer pressure and yes. I'll just hide it from people and then go, wow, this is a good edible, you know?
this is good shit. Yeah. Moving on from drugs, although we could talk about drugs forever.
Sorry, guys. You guys are like, I hate this guy.
Oh, no, not at all. They love you. Yeah. Our listeners love you. When I said I was doing something, they're like, yay, Ryan, on our Instagram. They said like that. That's all. They're like, yay. They're all 3-year-olds. Yay. So let's just dig in. You know all things Bravo. Let's dig in to Below Deck. And new stew on the block. This is episode 12. We are we're almost through this season.
I feel like we're halfway. Like, I feel like there's another 12 episodes. Like, always below this Below Deck season seems like it's never going to end.
How do I say this? I started with OG Below Deck and I watched it forever because it was my favorite Bravo show. I loved all the situations. I love the way the ship works. I love Captain Lee. I then moved into Below Deck Med. And then I discovered a level of hate for Captain Sandy that I
Me. Mind your own business, Captain Sandy. Let people, like, you're always hovering.
Worst leader ever. Can I give you some constructive criticism?
Yeah. You know, I've worked on a lot of ships, and I see a lot in you. I really do.
She's a special level of terrible. I went all the way through. I will say, and so I kind of convinced Maddie to do Below Deck because I said, oh, it'll be great. I love talking about this show. We did the last season of Below Deck Med with Captain Sandy, the first without Hannah. And I'm like, it's different. It's not as good. I promise. And then this was our first Below Deck season we did. I'm like, it's usually better. It's usually better than this. And we start off strong and maybe it's just because there aren't that many cuckoo charters and the deck crew is kind of bland and Heather,
Heather annoys the crap out of me.
She annoys most people, yeah.
But like we had almost a threesome last week and I'm still bored. Like I'm like, how did I get bored almost watching a threesome, you know?
Yeah. And I think the thing about the show too is you have the whole show has now become about Heather saying the N-word, and I'm not saying should not be a huge plot point, but it's kind of like having to go through it and talk about it and talk about why the things were. Yes, we can say that Heather should not have said the N-word to Raina.
Seems fairly obvious. Yeah.
No one should say that word. And yes, Eddie, and I'm still unclear about what Eddie thought and when did Eddie know and when did he know it?
Yeah, because by the way, Eddie, on this episode, Eddie was like, no, I didn't. I said you should feel the way that you feel. No, I want to be clear. I said you should feel.
I love black people.
Yeah, yes, yes.
That's first basically foremost, what Eddie said.
The reason I'm in yachting black people, obviously. I love them. I love, like, he was like stumbling all over. It was so funny. But
my favorite show was Good Times.
I love J.J. Walker. We all know it. We all love it. But it's like been five episodes now. Like, I thought that was done, and it came back. But also,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying with Raina. Raina's like, I mean, Raina is rolling her eyes a lot, away from this situation. And I didn't personally understand. Maybe I'm not getting the nuance, but I don't get, like, Captain Lee genuinely liked how she did the anchor and then complimented her. And Raina was like, I can't be played with like this. And I don't know if I necessarily fully understood what happened.
We didn't understand that before. I didn't understand it last week either. And we did have a listener contact us saying it's just another step of why she feels very isolated as a black woman on this boat. And I can kind of understand it. I think she's also very young. Her maturity level is, so I think being in a high stress job like that, having to deal with that from Heather makes her kind of go back and forth. And what I've told people about, it's tough because the whole Reddit community and the whole Below Deck community is like pro Raina, anti Raina. And I think Raina can be experiencing a lot of microaggressions and racism on this boat. She can also still be a sucky deckhand.
Yeah. By the way, it's the worst deck crew. I mean,
terrible?
I mean, we've had things fall off chairs. We've had people just die on the ocean. Things are falling off every which way. And both things can be true at the same time.
Exactly.
I just thought with the Captain Lee thing, I thought he genuinely was wanting to give her a compliment. But I understand also that it might feel like then, once again, you're being pushed out.
It felt like a bait and switch, I think, to her. And because Captain Lee, I don't think really they were trying to, and what we talked about this on the show, that is a common thing that happens on Below Deck and a lot of procedural reality shows where someone fucks up and screws up, then the next moment they're given a chance to learn and do something and they are rewarded and they're built up for it. And I think that would have worked had Raina not experienced what she had been dealing with in the last couple of episodes. But I think we're also seeing, I'm sure it's going to blow up more in the next episode, but where Eddie is just, I don't know if Eddie's made out to be a real first officer. I just, especially with this deck crew.
I always because I love the premise. And by the way, all the ladies that are listening know that this is the kind of the feeder show for husbands and boyfriends.
Totally.
Like Below Deck is that show that everybody usually, it'll hook you at least because it's a big boat. Summer House is a little like that too with dudes where they'll be like, I love to get shit canned. I'll watch that show. You know?
It is the dude vacuum into Bravo. So
it's that baby. It's that feeder system they have going. But half the time now I'm watching this season, I'm actually writing fan fiction where like I picture like pirates taking over. And then Captain Lee's like, they're not going to take my boat. Shit on Shinola. You know, like I just like random things that Captain Lee says, because nothing like I hate Heather with a passion. Ugh. Rachel obviously is an amazing chef.
She's amazing.
She doesn't have good people to work off of. And we don't get to eat my cooter this year.
Well, she doesn't have a stew to, she doesn't have a stew to be her foil or a chief stew to be her foil like Francesca or someone like that. And the problem with Heather is she may be good at her job sometimes, but she doesn't have a way to let the audience in. There's no way we can find a certain, no one really likes her.
No, I can't get a beat on her personality except that I feel like she's extremely fake.
That's the problem. Because you never thought Kate Chastain could be extremely fake with the charter guests, but as soon as you knew exactly what she thought behind. Yeah. So it's a
different. And Frasier's upset that there's a new deckhand and like Frasier wants to be perfect. And I thought nothing just has ever really just taken off for this season yet. Like nothing has taken off at all.
There's been no character that shines. We haven't even had a Riley this season, or God forbid, like a Zhao, or like a meat-headed South African.
I think even like the actual guests of the boat. We've had some nasty people. We've had a lady wired shut that she needed everything like disgusting. They were like putting like chomping up chicken and steak into a broth for her to drink.
Don't forget oysters.
If I ever have like oyster shake, I would die. But don't you like the other thing? The premise is kind of like really thin. Is that I think it's so funny that we're supposed to believe at all times on this ship that they are like one beverage service away from the Titanic. Like it's like everything is about to fall apart at all times for these guests. Like the upstairs downstairs element of it, it's always like, damn it, they need their drinks and they need them now. And like there's always, it feels like it's always about to explode.
You know what, though? That you are so right about that. And that actually started happening on Below Deck Med first. It's almost like because there wasn't enough drama sometimes. And there was this kind of upstairs, downstairs. If a guest has to ask three times for a martini, someone walks the plank. It is kind of, it is that, and then that trickled over. I've seen it the last two seasons on Below Deck, especially with Francesca, who I didn't like at all, but I think who got a raw deal. And she was trying to do her best, but I knew she wasn't going to stay around because no one really liked her. But I think they have high hopes for Heather. And I think now they realize.
Dude, I think she's on another season already. And I'm like,
fuck.
That's wild. Like, I just don't even understand what would possess them because, yeah, there is no personality there. And I will say, and I'm not making fun of her looks, but every time I stare at her face, I don't know what's happening. Like, there's something about this, but not, I'm not saying the lips. I'm not saying like, it just feels like she has like three different faces on her face. Like,
you know what it is?
It's the mushrooms. It has to be me and the mushrooms.
People have said it's like an overbite, but something with like an upturned lip, but she tries out lots of makeup looks in the confessionals. And that somehow don't really jive with what she's wearing on a day-to-day basis, I think.
Like, I know she's pretty or considered pretty. I just don't know how it all comes together. I don't know. It's like
I don't know. I haven't liked girls for so long.
Wait. You telling me you don't like girls? Come on, man.
I have a confession to make. But we're gonna take a quick break, and we will come right back to doing a little bit more Below Deck. We'll be right back, you guys.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me.
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
I gotta tell you, I'm really, really, I find the N-word offensive.
Yeah.
Hey, not anybody else, but
Eddie's like, I can't say that word, Captain. What word is it? You know what word.
I hate that word.
Yeah, like
the word.
It does feel like we're trying to have an after school special moment.
Yeah. Like there should have been music underneath, you know, this, Eddie, of like, yeah, Eddie, when I started yachting,
people said that. We,
yeah.
I remember when we started yachting, it was a horrible business and we've come so far. And,
you know, and then Captain Lee's big way to solve it was like, well, you're going to have to find out what happened. And like you get to the bottom, like get to the bottom of that word. Like, what are we getting to the bottom of? Like I expect you to solve racism this today.
And it's like Eddie is completely incapable of this. And also it's not that I think with a situation like this, it's also weird that Eddie keeps telling Raina to handle it yourself, because obviously that's not worked. And it's not. Heather does not. Heather will say, "I've already apologized. What else do you want me to do?" So, it is something as Eddie as kind of first officer of that boat, who I think he does outrank Heather in this way. So he needs to say, "Let's all sit down. I'm going to be there, and we can talk about this because." I don't think that will do it for Raina either, because Heather, I don't think either Eddie or Heather have a capacity to understand where Raina's coming from in that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't. But also, I mean, it's like Heather kind of now seems to have the attitude of like, I apologized already.
Exactly. So, and it's interesting. I wonder about. This is more inside baseball about Bravo, but like you said before, I think they're already filming with her.
Oh, so I believe, I mean, from what I hear, that they are like on another Captain Lee season. So I think, like, you know, it is funny, you know, you can always, and in fact, I had this account on this week called Bravoholic Data that like breaks down all the, like, how many Instagram followers each like person gets after the, you know, and Raina gets the least Instagram followers per episode, which is wild, you know, and then Heather gets, and it is funny because then she also breaks down the amount of screen time that each character has. And you can really see which stories Bravo are pushing, which people Bravo, like, even if you don't like Noella on OC, OC is investing in Noella.
Right.
You know, like, you can really see they are putting their efforts behind this person. Even if you don't like them, Bravo says we have a future here, you know?
It's interesting. And it, they're trying to figure out who catches on. And I think a lot of people, we all think that people think like we do on the left coast elites. And if you go home like me to South Carolina and people are like, yeah, I love that show. What do you watch again? And I said, well, we do 90 Day Fiance. Oh, I wasn't talking about that. I like Big Bang Theory. Do you like Big Bang Theory? And I'm like, I don't think we're going to be friends.
That would be amazing if you guys start recapping Big Bang Theory.
Oh God, I can't even imagine. It would just be us telling why the jokes aren't funny to us.
But this is my stoner dad, like, loves Big Bang Theory. In fact, I feel like they put something in it that, like, over a certain age, like, hypnotizes them. Because my dad will watch every episode of Big Bang Theory.
My brother and his friends used to, like, sit around watching Big Bang Theory. And I'm thinking, I've watched parts of it, and I think some of it's funny. But then I'm just like, but is it?
I don't know if people like if younger people, like, are they watching ironically? But my dad will like see one, it'll be like, this is a good one. And I'm like, what? Like he's that into it.
And I don't know. And it's different for a show for me, like Seinfeld, that I could watch over and over and over again.
I actually, it's on Netflix, and I started watching it last month again, just like have it on when I fell asleep.
Yeah. Someone should do that as a PhD dissertation. Why do some people like Big Bang Theory and others don't?
What's the deal with Big Bang Theory and Seinfeld? Yeah.
And then strategical analysis of blah, blah, blah. that's every paper you've written in your master's. Quote, colon, explanation.
Oh, colon scare me.
You know you've all done it. So let's get in. So basically, Eddie is telling Heather that she needs to, or sorry, Eddie is telling Raina that she needs to solve this with Heather. And it's kind of like, okay, but we talked about this before the break. How is that going to go down? It's like I see this as just heading towards Raina having another meltdown, or Heather and Raina having another head to head, or maybe it'll just kind of fizzle. I don't know if there's any way for this to be resolved.
No, I don't think there. And if it seems like from following their social medias, it really hasn't gotten resolved. And you know, we got an apology from Heather on Instagram, you know, the day after that first
on the
one.
The Notes app
apology is always gold.
They're so in.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of the season is fizzling. But I like your point to go like, yo, on top of this, they're not a great deck crew. Like, this is a poor deck crew. Like, Eddie really does seem like he's really like a chicken with his head cut off. Yeah. I do not know. Like, I've never, like, Eddie almost seems frazzled that things are going badly, you know?
He does. And this was a really terrible time for him to become a first officer with a group. I think Jake knows what he's doing, but he's such a loose cannon that he's going to choose fun over anything else. And he's not going to be a kind of an ethical leader.
I love that Jake is engaged, and Jake is like some people are just blessed where they get away with anything. Like, he's almost like you said, he's almost looked like Puck or like a spirit or a fairy. Like, I'm like, he just loves people. He needs them. He loves a touch. Like, it's not like, it's like, yo, he has a fiance that probably doesn't know he's cheating. And it's like, Jake, you love him. Oh. And he kisses guys and girls. That's amazing. Like, they're almost patting him on the back for being bisexual. They're like, good for you. Good for you.
What fools these mortals be?
Yeah, it's like bottom. Like, what shall I be? Oh, never mind. I was trying to remember Shakespeare.
We're gonna go Shakespeare. Yeah. This is the point in the podcast where Maddie would go, "Never heard of it," and I would just say, "Move on." So you guys, the new stew is here, and as far as her name is Kaylee, as far as I can tell, there's a little bit of personality, but most importantly, she's a living, breathing person with arms.
Yeah,
and like, she can do laundry, and so Fraser is happy. So that's all that's important.
Yeah, and Fraser's just like, I'm still the baddest bitch on this boat. Like, you know, like, he really was worried that she was going to take over his job or something.
This is common, especially with, I say young gay professionals, but I think all young professionals, but especially young gay ones. There's this idea that you're so motivated to do so well because you were shoved in a locker so many times. And and he mentions that, like, but it does feel he's got a crushing insecurity. And obviously nothing is more apt than to figure out that you need control in your life, that you need to do. You have to be on a yacht that has a small area, and you have to handle all of the interiors, and everything must be so clean, and we must scrub every single
place. This is how you fold a bed. This.
Yes.
This is how you fold.
And so no wonder he chose something like that. But his insecurities, I think he's funny. I think on any other season, Fraser would be the least interesting person.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. I mean – ah, God. And, you know, I hate to say it, but like a lot of Fraser's job and even like the deck crew like bores the hell out of me. And I'm so thankful. Like, you know, when Captain Lee said they couldn't wear AirPods while they worked anymore last week, I got frustrated because I was like in my head when I imagine myself doing all of these duties, I'm wearing an AirPod and that's what gets me through it. You know, like I'm listening to podcasts.
I think I'm just going to say my favorite moment in this show, in this episode, was when they were asking Kaylee where she's from, and she's like, yeah, from, you know, Silver City. And they all go, oh my God, Rat Race, the movie. And they're like, and then, oh my God, have you seen it? And she's like, nope, never seen it.
That's why art is so amazing, because every time you're like, there's no way that anybody will ever be a fan of that thing, there's like a group of people that love that thing.
So just a little bit about the guests. If you remember from the previous episode, we have some lovely pet names for them. There's, of course, Limited Dairy, who is married to Lactose Intolerant, who was not happy the whole first dinner.
Miserable.
And forget Shellfish Allergy, who's been having a blast, even though she was served something. Shellfish Allergy has been a joy.
Yeah.
But Lactose Intolerant, y'all, has water in her ear, which if you've ever had gotten water in your ear, you can't get it out. It does hurt your ear. So she's been down there, and it's the kind of thing where y'all, Limited Dairy, Lactose Intolerance, husband, he knows that he needs to be down where she is because he can't enjoy his whole meal. She's not going to be happy with him by any means. So he like says, can you get her some food? So they're making food for Lactose Intolerant. And so the next day, she's still in bed.
That's Melissa, right? Lactose?
Yes, that's Melissa. Yeah. We called them that because
they better name. I wish Melissa would change her name to Lactose Intolerant.
Lactose Intolerant. It's so much better. They were referring to him as, so Limited Dairy has a problem, and I was dying. So the next thing, the guests, these shark guests are wonderful, you guys. Yes, they had that big explosion with Melissa, but we got over it. And the next, the tip meeting is great, obviously. It's $25,000. Actually, no, that's kind of okay, I guess. And one thing I was thinking about, there was a big thing with bidets this episode where it soaked Fraser in the face.
Yeah. That's what we call prop comedy in the business.
It is. It's prop comedy. Ugh.
Yeah.
And I think there was just one more there. We had at their lat the they're going to go out and have fun. Then Raina brings up, she's like, yeah, I've been thinking about going to cooking school. Maybe we can talk about that. And I said, that is the perfect career for you because it's something you're passionate about. You can do it kind of solitarily so that no one has to be your job. No one has to be above you as a boss. That's why I do what I do. I wasn't a good employee. Let me just tell you. Were you a shitty employee? Could you?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Did you hate your bosses?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, unfortunately, like, I'm very happy that I don't have to be a shitty employee anymore. Like, I do. Like, I when I think back, I'm like, man, I really skated a lot of the times, you know? Like, I really just got by. Like, there wasn't no above and beyond for me. I just got by, you know?
Totally. I it was a good day if I didn't scream at my boss.
I worked with actors, and like by the end, like if you had seen me in my job, you would have thought I was the most unfriendly person. I mean, but also I dealt with actors for like 12 years. It's just insane energy to deal with on a daily basis.
No, they're children. Actors.
Yes,
they're children, and I love actors, but actors need to be managed, and they need to be managed like toddlers.
Well, yeah, I mean, they get auditions. They haven't even printed out the script. They're like, I'm like, you're beautiful looking. You're getting these opportunities and you don't even bother to print out a script. Like, that's wild to me.
No, it's the people who do that are doing the Lord's work. I don't get it. I could never do it again. So we do have a little bit of Fraser apologizing to Kaylee and saying, I'm sorry because you were making me uncomfortable, and now I was being insensitive, and now I'm happy, and we're really working hard to make everyone feel good after this season.
Oh, to go back to that Raina moment when she said she'd go to cooking school. I just thought it was funny that they all, like, it was like, it felt like her ass was just being like, oh my God, Raina, I've never heard something as beautiful as that. Raina, you need to do, and he was like, my God, Raina, that's the most perfect thing you've ever said.
Raina, you be can we get you off this boat?
Wolfgang Puck can suck my dick. That's amazing. You know, like.
They're like, anything where we don't have to talk about race.
I never saw it. It was like yes ending in an improv game. Point where you're like, we get it. You agree, you know?
And everyone's like, yes, cheers to Raina being off the ship and getting out of her hair. Yes.
Like, by the way, next episode, Captain Lee will be like, I called in some favors. You're going to be the head chef on another yacht tomorrow. Pack your bags. Like,
doesn't matter that you don't have a culinary school degree. Yeah, it's going to be on the My Shauna.
Oh my God. What if Andy Cohen presents her with like a culinary school gift certificate at the end at like the reunion?
I could totally see that. I actually think Bravo's trying their best to get away from her because she on social media, I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, she goes, yeah, she goes off. Yeah.
She's not just going for her castmates. She's going for all. And you can kind of be redeemed if you just go for your castmates. But once you start going for Andy Cohen, the network, Captain Lee, production, they have memories of elephants. They will never forget.
Oh, that. Man. Like even Bravo PR has memories of elephants. Like but also Jen Shaw, I feel like Jen Shaw really wants to go there to throw Bravo production under the bus, but she realizes she fully can't do that yet. But that will be one of her last things. That will be one of her, when it's all falling apart, she will lash out at production. I will bet my life on it.
No, you're totally right. Because that's the last thing you can say.
Yep.
Even though they've probably been the kindest and most patient with her.
They've given her free advertising every week to say she's innocent.
The one thing about production and producers that I still will never forgive is showing that footage constantly of her children who are innocent.
Marched out of
that house. I still will never.
The shame on everybody. Like that was,
they keep
so
showing
beyond,
it.
Oh, it was so beyond the pale. And it really brings you back down to earth and thinking about the Jen Shaw stuff. Cause Jen Shaw is so ridiculous and those boys are not, and they didn't have
nothing to do with it.
You know?
They have absolutely nothing to do with it. They are blameless. They didn't ask for this. And the image of having to show like black boys being like forced with their hands up,
going out of a house.
Truly, it's like very sobering. That's why, like, Bravo, it's a very weird couple of years, not only in America, but on Bravo, because, you know, you'll be having these really ridiculous situations or stuff, and we really enjoy it as an audience. And then something sobering like that will happen, or you realize, oh my God, Erica Jane might have sold from Orphans and Widows. And it doesn't hit the same as like a ridiculous scene about, like, you know, somebody has like a bad stomach. Well, what, 90 Day this week had a whole storyline about pooping, you know?
Me poop now.
Yeah, yeah. My tummy hurt, you know? I'm like, what's going on?
Oh, God. Good job. Good job, Memphis. I had a big thing with Kyle from Kyle and Cray Cray, and I was like, pooping in a public restaurant. I'm like, first of all, the times I pooped in a public restaurant, maybe I could count on two hands. I feel very, very, very pleased with myself that I'm regular enough to go in the morning. And if I'm sick, that's a different thing.
You guys
thing.
Don't see it, but his hands each have like 1,000 fingers on them. So that's what it means. You guys can't see that at home. Yeah.
But yeah, it divided our whole Facebook group too. They're like, poop in public, yes. And everyone's like, never.
You know what's the most fascinating thing? Like, I will say that with like podcasting with the audience too, is that I have a debate going on if like people should wash their legs in the shower. And for me, that's a no-brainer. Wash your legs. But my friend Meditza is like adamant of like, you don't need to wash your legs. It'll just, all the wetness from the body will
dry your skin
drip,
out.
Drip, no, but it will drip down to your legs.
That's interesting, because for me, if I wash my legs like more on a daily basis, my skin gets so dry.
Damn it. So you're siding with Meditza. I thought this was a no-brainer that we should be washing our legs.
But I do wash my legs about every other day, maybe every 3 days in the shower.
I thought I was being punked. Like, I thought, like, I'm usually, like, not the most hygienic person, and I even wash my legs.
You spend a good 45 minutes giving yourself a good soap down. You can't be too thorough.
Wait. No, next thing you're going to tell me I shouldn't put the bar of soap in my ass? Is that what, like, is that, like...
You shouldn't, like, have that thing. You're choked in a noose. Yeah, whole,
yeah. Whole... Yeah, it's called, like, autoerotic asphyxiation.
Autoerotic asphyxiation. Yeah. Anyway, but the last little bit... Of course, you guys, Jake has to, he's wearing, I believe it's Heather's thong, and of course is showing his ass and jumps in the water.
Free spirit.
What fools these mortals be?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to do what I want to, and everybody likes it. Ding!
And I love that everybody's kind of so boring where they just like, he's amazing. Woo! It's like Harry Styles.
Jake, he's incorrigible. That's the same. It is like he's their Harry Styles.
Yes, he's like, they consider him the eccentric, like, playboy on the ship. And that's what I just find it so funny, is that usually people like that will be like, oh, weirdo, stay away from me. But everybody's, like, raising him up high. Like, he can do no wrong.
I think part of it is because he's English. American guy would – and that mustache makes him look like – he is some type it is like Lord of the Rings style person.
Yeah, there's like a Johnny Depp type character in there somewhere that Johnny Depp plays on like some shitty movie, you know?
You know, Jake, he's just made of gossamer.
Jake, you shine so bright, Jake.
He sleeps on a rainbow somewhere above us.
Where's Jake? Look for the twinkle lights.
So basically, y'all, the boy there, he's kissing boys, he's kissing girls. It's fine. I don't know what's going to happen, but Andy Cohen's had a really good time with, I don't think he's been on Watch What Happens Live.
No,
yet.
But like, I love when Andy gets all horned up by a guest.
I can
Lucas just, Gage this week, he got all horned up. It looked
can you imagine if that was for women? Can you imagine what would happen? We get away. I say all the time about our live shows, and I know I could not get away with this if I was a straight man. But I say all the time, ladies, bring your husbands to the live shows. They're going to be all in Poodle's playpen. I know as a gay man, it's still kind of gross. I'm aware, but if I was a straight man saying that about women, no. they'd come for me with torches. And no, they should.
I mean, I you know, yeah. I mean, I think, and it's obvious, like, thankfully I'm sane enough to even, like, I know, like, I couldn't say, like, I want to sleep with all my female listeners, you know?
Yes.
Like, it would just be completely, also just, like, not right for, in any sense of the word.
Even Howard Stern would be like, dude, we got to talk.
Exactly. Well, by the way, I just now have this, like, thought of, like, Captain Lee, like, God damn it, Jake, I love you. You're so goddamn special, Jake, you know?
Jake, I love it when the dew is on your eyes and I can see you first thing in the morning.
Jake, you're doing horrible on deck, but God, I love to watch you work.
The way you got that little spring in your step. Fly me off to Neverland, Jakey. Me off to Neverland.
Jake, do the curtains match the drapes?
Oh, y'all, this has been, that is it for our first installment of Bravo Blowjob or Blowout or Blowout, Blowjob, Blow Snow Blow. Who cares? Toot, toot. good thing it's on the video. We will be back in our next installment to do Summer House, the new season of Summer House, episode season 6, wherein basically it becomes the third act of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf at the end. And
yes, yeah, that's great.
And we're also going to be talking a little bit about salt, as Maddie once said, like, we're going to talk about salt wives. And I went, you mean Real House of Salt Lake City? He's like, yeah. And I said, what if Salt Wives was a limited series starring Frances McDormand as the lead widow in a fisherman's widows in a town? Everything is bleak. It's Frances McDormand.
Wait, Connie I'm Britton. Pretty sure she's already done this. That sounds
if
like a
she
Frances
hasn't,
McDormand.
If she
vehicle.
Hasn't, I need to write this script. And there's also, like, June Squibb is there, of course. and every time a fisherman, every episode, a fisherman dies, and they all have to lean on each other. And the opening credits are just salt water through hands. Salt vibes.
You know what? I swear to God, that's like an HBO limited series. That
I know.
Never.
I know. Like, what is this made?
Like, HBO should be begging to work this into something. Because that's I can already see it. Like, just the amount of grimacing Frances McDormand would get to do. That's her favorite thing.
And like blue, like harsh blue light, seagulls. The town reeking of brine. I can already see it.
Do you ever have those actors that you wish, you hope you never bump into? Like, Frances McDormand is one of those for me because she just, like, I know she would just look right through me.
Oh,
you know, like,
she totally would destroy you.
Oh, yeah. Like, she wouldn't, and I would, like, I would be her waiter or something, and I wouldn't, something would have been done wrong, and she'd be like, what are you doing? And, like, just, like.
It's not even that she would be mean. She would just kind of stare through you and say, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah.
What are you even here for?
And I would just burst into tears. All the tears would just flow, you know?
I'm a huge fan of hers, but I know I did not want to meet her.
Like, I mean, that was like, I worked with Holly Hunter once, and I love Holly Hunter. Love, like, broadcast news is one of my favorite.
But it's the same impression for me. Holly Hunter's like, we're going to find a killer, and we're going to do it. So maybe you're the one. Yes, Dr. Lecter, this is my Holly Hunter, and it's also my Jodie Foster.
I was working with her on this movie, and I realized I was, like, straight out of college, and I realized, like, you know, I'm not a method actor. And all of a sudden I was on this movie, and, like, Holly Hunter, like, in between scenes was, like, going there. Like, I was like, oh my God, is she all right? Like, she's like in it. Like that, like the other person that was like, that was Jeff Goldblum. That was just, like, in between scenes, he would just, like, make faces at himself in the mirror, and he would, like, act like he would be like, like, by himself. In between, like, and we were all supposed to act like it wasn't happening. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
And at one point, I'd like to tell them, like an acting teacher once told me, acting is lying, y'all. Acting is lying. Sometimes you can be different people without having to go there.
I'm so lazy that I was just like, why isn't Jeff just, like, eating snacks? Like, why isn't he in his tree? Like, he's reading the Spoon River anthology and doing faces in a mirror, you know?
Oh, God. On that note, y'all, we're going to go on. We're going to end this, but we'll see you on the next episode. We're talking about Summer House and some Salt Lake City, and we're talking a little about culture stuff at the end. Y'all, I'll mention this at the end. Y'all, come see us live in New York City. That is going to be on the 28th and 29th. We're also presenting at the Crappies, Watch What Crappens Awards, on the 27th. And the good thing is, I know Omicron is still out there, you guys. There's a little bit of good news. The cases are going down in New York. We're not by any means out of it, but we're really excited to see that. So we're being as safe as we can. It's a vaccinated show and it's a masked show. So we'd love to see you Friday. There are still tickets available. Saturday is pretty sold out, but there's still a couple there for you. You can go to on Instagram. You can find our link tree, and that's for link for tickets. Y'all check out fucking So Good, So Bad. It's so bad. Good. So bad.
So I bad. Thought you were about to say I was about to do a live show in New York, and I was like, no way. That's no. Amazing. You're like, no.
I've been doing too much mushrooms. So Bad is Good with Ryan Bailey from wherever podcasts are found.
Yeah. iHeartRadio, baby. Let's do it.
There you go. All right, B, we'll see you guys next time. Okay.
Poodle, I need to talk to you about something that happened at our New York live show.
The lighting designer said it was his first time and that his wife didn't care.
No, Poodle. It's just that people are talking about your outfit from the show.
Oh, yes. My corset that I bought online that was specially made for my body. It accentuated my creamy shoulders and gave me a waist cinched for the gods.
Well, also, I don't know how to say this, but some sissies said their male husbands noticed your...
Caboose? Men flocked to my posterior. It makes sense.
No, the other side. They noticed your junk.
Oh, my.
And apparently there was some jealousy. I can't believe I'm talking about this. But some men said you looked very junk forward, and some male sissies in the audience were a little jealous.
Well, they should be. I bring the heat. Well, if I'm honest, Maddie, I've got a little secret.
Oh, I know you banged the guy that organizes your building's trash bins.
How dare you mention Orlando? I can neither confirm nor deny. No, Maddie, I mean, those male sissies don't need to be jealous at all. Well, maybe a little jealous. But they, too, can be junk-forward like me. My secret is that I wear the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies.
The contoured pouch and ball caddy?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy. Not only is MeUndies underwear comfortable and breathable, but it also makes my junk look huge.
MeUndies, who knew?
Yes, and MeUndies has looks for all types of people. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small through 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
Oh, and I do know that MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Their lounge collection is incredible, featuring joggers, hoodies, and onesies, and more. And it is unmatched comfort because MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
Well, not only are they cozy, but MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. And if you're not happy with your first pair of MeUndies, it's on MeUndies.
Well, Poods, now that I'm living the single life like Nuttley, I need to advertise. I'm getting some MeUndies.
I don't want to hear about your sex life on the podcast. Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.